Eric, all you're doing. Hi Eric, Roger here.
I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm talking about I'm I think we did have
I'm gonna get Okay. Okay, I'm speaking now and I don't hear any feedback, so that's fine. You were probably getting feedback from me because I wasn't turning off mine when I spoke, so I'm going to turn off mine now.
Yeah, that's I didn't recognize that much feedback, but it's okay. Okay.
We have a few people on now, and Jenny should be joining in a couple of minutes, and then we'll see what we can have. Raise your hand, Karen.
How is it? Can everybody hear me? Or Rock is there. Okay, thanks.
Hello, everybody. I am testing my mic. Can you hear me?
This is Roger. I hear you fine. Do you hear me now?
Hi, Roger. I'm glad to hear you.
It's been almost a year since we saw each other.
Hello, Roger.
I just plugged my earphones in as well to minimize any safety. Yes, I'm just plugging in my earphones. It could be coming. Is that better?
Yep, yep. Good.
You can hear me, Eric?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay.
What did you say?
I was asking if everybody else had earphones in, because normally we have earphones and that helps with the feedback.
1 minute, I'm gonna get my earphones. Okay, so this is a stick.
It's about 5 minutes after starting time, so when Harry gets back, maybe we should begin. I need to tell you that I did a test run on the blackboard, so I thought I had everything under control, but when I went to paste in Jenny's agenda, I noticed that only about half of it actually shows up on the whiteboard. And I spent about a half an hour trying to fix that and can't figure out how to do it. So I'll have a little bit of learning after this session and find out what went wrong. But if everyone's got their copy on Basecamp, either watching on Basecamp or printing it out, then you'll have a copy through that.
Thanks, Roger. I noticed there's a little thing at the top saying fit page. I tried reducing it, but it still has cut off. I tried to 75%, but it's still not including everything. So somehow it's cut it off before we do it.
Yeah, I did a copy on it and everything was okay when I put it in, but it didn't accept it all. And I tried 75% or fit page, and this one looked like it was better than the rest. Anyhow, I'll learn more next go around.
Maybe it's telling us the agenda was too long. It's probably the longest, most ridiculous one I've ever done, but that could be part of the problem.
You've done talk for 3-4 hours.
Ah, welcome, everybody. Looks like we've pretty much got... Who are we missing? not here for the whole thing. So, and Natalie, yes, but he obviously couldn't make it. So. All right, so let's begin. One of the things that struck me this morning is just wondering if anybody else wakes up in the morning when there's these Federation Illuminate calls on and starts thinking, oh God, thinking of all the things that I haven't done. And anyone else have that feeling?
Not at all, Jim.
Just me then, Karen. Thank you. Anyway, I think that Roger's being honest. Yes, I think that one of the issues is we're all very very dedicated and very conscientious people, and we have to remember that what we're doing here is a voluntary thing, and it's very difficult to manage all the bits in our lives. So I think we should stop beating ourselves up, and so I want to try to focus today on what we've done, and at the same time look at what we have on our list that we said we would do, or we had hoped to do, or planned to do, and just look at how we can prioritise all that, because the reality is that we've been going for 3 years, or at least most of us. So it's a long time to have an organisation like this and volunteers working consistently. So I think we need to be realistic about what we can do in the next 12 months. We certainly all had ambitions beyond what we have been capable of doing so far, but at the same time we've done lots and lots of things. So yes, Karen, we're still standing. So just briefly running through, I've been working on our biennial report, and I have to say that's one of the things that's running behind time. But just to quickly run through, try and recall some of the major things. We've got a great positive community now with really good activity on the list, and it's all very positive. We've had a gradual increase in members in spite of some attrition and a few new institutional members. We're now reconnected with UNESCO, which was certainly one of my first priorities, and I think everybody was, else was behind that being a major priority, and because of that we've been able to apply for participation funding. We still have no news on that, but let's keep our fingers crossed. We've had made some research collaboration with Spain through Geordie, and with Paris through me and the Archives Project. We've run one introductory futures course, the first one in several years. We've improved our membership processes, although we still could do more in that area. We've improved the website, and we know we still need to do more in that area. We've got better communications than we had, and we've got better and smoother operations. So I think really we should be feeling quite pleased with ourselves, although not complacent, that we've actually achieved a lot for a group of volunteers in the last 3 years. And given that it's already May in this year, which leaves us a year to go, we have sort of 12 month priority setting to do, I guess, is the way I see it. So why doesn't everybody just have a little brief hello and intro, but we won't spend long on that. Just personally, my life is good. I've been going through lots of changes, been through a divorce this year and settlement, and so there's been a lot of personal issues, but basically things are very positive now, and just working hard as usual. So we might just go down the list. Roger, would you like to just briefly check in? Roger?
Sorry, forgot to push my button. I have been a little busy. I finished a book about 6 months ago on a history of the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences at the university that ended up about 300 pages. And that took a lot of interview time and data collection and trying to find records wherever they were. And then a couple of other organizations I worked with. So I think all that's just in the past now, so I'm got my head above water again. So that's it.
Eric?
Yes. I've been, you know, at the moment I'm sharing my time between Oslo and the ministry and the Institute for Dua at the Free University in Berlin. And we are doing some quite interesting things in this field at the moment, which I also try to, you know, relate to the Federation in many ways. And Institute for Dua is also become an institutional member, and we are, you know, for example, we are planning to launch a new European journal for future research. I'm going to tell you as soon as the concept paper is finished, I'm going to tell you something about it, and I'm going to distribute it to you, so you can get some ideas what it's about and get some input if you want to. So I'm doing a lot in this field at the moment. I think, although I'm spread between two worlds in many ways, so I also very concerned about policy development and how to, you know, renew approaches for policy development. So so that's my professional, you know, perspective at the moment. According to the Federation, I think we have achieved something last year, but I'm going to speak some more about this on the point too, but we have to think even more thoroughly in direction, sponsorship and things like that. But I'm going to return to that at the next point. Thank you.
Sure. Guillermina, hola.
No me llegué.
Yamina, your voice is a bit soft. Can you, have you pressed your talk button? Or can you put the sound up a bit? Yamina, can you hear me? Something is...
Yes!
Okay, and now Mike is on you. Can you hear
you? Yes, go. Hi.
Do you want to say something about the video conference?
Yes, video conferences are very, very popular now in the Latin American region. We are at the eighth conference now, and we have 8 more, and the public, the audience, are in several thousand people in all regions. It is more attractive and informative. It is a seminar of professional formation, capacitation, for training in prospective. And it is, yes, now, the first, when you are speaking, Jenny, 2 days are 18,000 people finally. That's the count final. 18,000 people. Yes, it, we have now a very varied audience. The last were 5,000, almost, and another, it is very, the numbers are very varied, the numbers. But it is an event, annual, a year event, very, very interest in the region. Oh, sorry for my English. Oh, the topics, Karen, are technologies, convergence technologies. Social and scientific technologies. It is an encounter with science and political and social public. We have a national event too. It calls Prospect 2012. It is national, and there is a very attractive teams. In the national, we analyze the situation of our country, and we discuss with other countries these problems. Yes, I'm going to tell you that Javier Vitale in Mendoza, Argentina, is organizer of Prospecta Mendoza, Prospecta Argentina, and the third Latin American perspective, and he was very enthusiastic of to have the support of the Federation. I told you they can use the logo as we are talking in last year for other event, because Vitaly, he is a member of Federation, and I am informed you how is this event are one and November 1 and 2 in Mendoza, Argentina. Thank you. The first information it is in Spanish, but I'm going to try to translate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have all this conference in online. I will send you again the address. You can see this conference, our video conference, and you can see the presentation in PowerPoint. We're writing many, many papers in very different areas of perspective. We have three series. One are didactic materials. One is about specialty teams. And the last is thinking, Latin American thinking in prospective. All these are online. Thank you.
Thank you, Guillermina. I think you're doing incredible work there. The IBRM chapter is is just amazing, and I don't know how you do it all, but it's just wonderful. Congratulations. Thank you. Karen. Is the sound turned up, Karen? Okay, it seems that Karen has a problem with the mic. So we'll skip Karen at the moment, and you'll need to put something in the chat if you want to comment until you can get your mic working, Karen. Okay. Yes, the mic isn't icon isn't showing now. I'll just turn mine off, have another go, Karen, and otherwise we'll skip to Maya.
Can you hear me better than we can hear Karen? Yes?
Here for you.
Perfect. Okay. So hi, good morning everybody. This is the moment where we update on where we're at away from the WFSS. Then I'm involved in two big projects, one for which I'm leaving to the Congo in exactly a month, with 15 students who are going to try to complete 14 out of 21 futures-oriented missions that we designed for them. And the other project is a project in a socially sensitive neighborhood in Brussels where I'm conducting interviews, and I'm also accompanying some residents in their exploration of images of the future in their neighborhood. And both jobs are really nice, very interesting, and I'm enjoying it. It's very challenging. I'm enjoying the work, and next to that I'm getting to do more and more evaluation and reviewing as an external expert for the European Commission Future Internet Project, and that's really interesting as well. It's nice variation with all the more softer sociocultural work, and I'm really liking that. For the rest, I guess that's it.
Sounds great, Maya. Thank you. I want to talk to you later, if you can stay on at the end, about some timing to maybe catch up with you in Europe, but we'll pass over that for now. Rakesh.
Thanks, Jenny. Well, two new developments as far as my work is concerned. One, in the last 3 months, we've initiated a reasonably big project on climate change and gender, and climate change adaptation. And this is working in my organization. And in fact, my wife, Aditi, is the one leading research on this project. And we are going to be working with four state governments on their state climate change adaptation plans. So it's a major research and advocacy project, and we've been quite busy launching this. The other thing is that I've been exploring or doing the groundwork for okay, thanks, Karen. I've been exploring a special issue of futures on, again on India, but more specifically with a focus on the economy and business. It seems to be with the global economy in turmoil, there seems to be a lot of interest in India, and I hope to be launching this issue, to work on this issue in the next month or so. And besides that, I have to visit Turku, Finland Future Research Center, where I believe Jenny is also coming early next month for their 20th anniversary celebrations. Yes, it will be a good opportunity.
Yeah, that's good to hear. You're doing some really important work. Karen mentioned she's looked at the report. Rakesh, did you send that to us, We need something on our website where we can update, where we can put news and update. We haven't been very good at this, putting our news out, because we're all very active sort of futurists and researchers, and it's something we need to talk about in terms of communications and website, how we can get this information out to our members. Stuart. I don't know whether you're speaking. I can see your video up there, but I can't hear anything.
Can you hear me? Okay, great. Sorry, I thought that was working. I'm 6 months into my responsibility leading Foresight Innovation for ARIC Australasia, which has been great, but that also involves quite a bit of travel around the region, because Australasia encompasses Northern Australia, both New Zealand and Singapore, and kind of adjacent countries to that potentially as well. And in the course of that travel and those responsibilities, one of the things that I'm trying to do is to extend our link as a federation into some of these areas where we don't have as much membership as we possibly could and should. So, for instance, I think you might have seen Aaron Mania's application. He was the director of strategic foresight for a team within the Singaporean Prime Minister's office, and now he is responsible for training futures education within Singapore public service, civil service college, it's called. So, Philip's kind of one of the generation related spin-offs of my day job. Yeah, I guess the other thing that might be sort of interesting to people there is that I've been to New Zealand a couple of times, in particular Christchurch, which is, as you probably know, in the throes of a very long-term and really sort of exhausting and challenging rebuild and self-reimagining process after being basically destroyed, at least the downtown part of the city. A series of earthquakes starting about a year and a half ago, and trying to find ways of putting future thinking there in that process, which is politically very difficult, but also very important. So, you know, it's been the whole thing is just populated really by the media. Political and financial forces that might be speaking to artists. So anyway, those are the challenges. I suppose the main downside of all this work-related busyness is that it really doesn't give you very much time to write. And I have a lot to write about, but that's the trade-off, I suppose, when you're in the professional setting. It's very difficult to find the time to document your learning to the extent that you would like, but that's one of the challenges I hope to manage going forward. Thanks.
Thanks, Stuart. It's great to see that, you know, everyone's work processes are sort of feeding into what we're doing and vice versa. I'll just mention briefly, I didn't say much about my work, but just briefly that I will be in Europe from, I'm leaving here on the 3rd of June, that's for the Finland conference, which I'll be speaking at, and obviously Rakesh is going too, which is great, as you know that, and a few other colleagues, so we'll be catching up with the Finnish folk. And I'll be spending another few weeks in Europe and doing various, you know, trying to network as much as possible with Federation members. I'm going to make an announcement shortly. I've just finalised my itinerary and let people know sort of where I'll be when. I'll be able to visit UNESCO because that's important to do that every time I can, and try to meet Mr. Banchev, who's the man that's doing the assessing of the participation proposals. And also I'll be working in Berlin and Poland in relation to my RMIT position, where I'm researching European cities, three European cities, which are part of the UN Global Compact Cities program. So the cities working on particular aspects of sustainability. So while I'm in those places, I'm going to be also establishing or re-establishing better contacts with our members. And I spoke to Eric. He's going to be in Berlin at the same time, or coincide, so that he can introduce me to the new institutional members there, and I want to try and see if we can make contact with some of our earlier Polish members who were very active in the early days of the Federation. So if anyone has any contacts, that would be great. The three cities, Stuart, the three cities there, Berlin is one, Płock in Poland, which is near Warsaw. And apparently it's a very old city that was the capital of Poland at some point between about 1000 and 1100 or 1200 or something like that. So, and the other one is Asker in Norway, which according to Eric is his neighbourhood. So I won't get there this time,
but I hope to maybe later in the year if I can get back to Europe again. So I'm doing another one of my juggles of trying to do whatever Federation work I can while I'm doing other things. So Maya, I'm hoping I will catch up with Eric in Berlin. I'm arranging to see and stay with Evelyn for a couple of days to touch base with her on our finances and so on. And I hope I can also meet with Maya and maybe Natalie if they can be available at some of the times when I'm in sort of relevant spots. So I'll fine tune that a bit more as we go. Okay, so basically that little list at the top of under President's Report is really the things that I felt needed some mention and that I've then listed further below under status reports. So where the agenda here cuts off, we can refer to the list at the top because it's the same list. It just had a bit more detail on the parts underneath. But you probably got your printed out copy or your screen copy anyway. So I'll quickly flip through the ones where I have any news and then we'll move on to other people's reports. So I've mentioned that we haven't heard anything from UNESCO yet, but we should hear something soon. Maya's just saying unlikely she'll be in the Congo. Okay. Thanks, Maya. Sounds like you're not going to be around. I will be around until the end, middle of July, but anyway, we'll see how we go. I'll email you. Now, the conference, I've posted online the proposal that's come from Romania, and I briefly explained what had happened there, happened with that, so I'll speak to that just a little bit now. Several of us Federation members have been invited to Romania over the last few years. I went there for the first time last year. Jim Data's been going, I think he's been there several times for this Transformation of Higher Education project. Wendy's been there a couple of times, Wendy Schultz. Geordie has been there a couple of times and perhaps other people. So they've been quite actively involved in drawing on our kind of some of our senior members, if you like, to have input. There's a very active group there and they seem to be very good at drawing funding through the European Social Forum and very good at networking. The most recent event they have that I'm aware of was in April, and a number of us contributed chapters for a book that was launched, a two-volume handbook. And it was basically a meeting of all the European higher education ministers meeting in Bucharest to discuss all these developments in European higher education at the moment in relation to the Bologna project and beyond. So they're very well connected and very active here in Europe, not just in Romania. And so I'm very positive about the proposal. I'm also very aware that after what happened with Malaysia, we're probably all feeling a bit more cautious, and we need to be, you know, perhaps a bit more guarded about what we jump in and say yes to. But at the same time, we do need to have a conference, and we do need to hold elections and so on. So this is something that we can discuss online, but I'm sort of interested in any comments if anybody has had a chance to have a look since I posted that a few hours ago.
Okay. Jenny, well, I used what you are describing, I think it sounds quite interesting. I haven't read the written proposal yet, or is this only, you know, the ideas spreading around? But I think what you are what you describe sounds quite quite interesting, and also the topic European higher education, from my point of view, is of special interest. So I think it sounds quite okay to me, very interesting. And only we had a discussion earlier about the Cairo proposal, because the team made a proposal for Cairo. So I understand, I talked to you yesterday, Jenny, is that you believe that, you know, that in Romania is somehow better at with the infrastructure and the financial part, and other aspects. It's probably more easy to go for a Romanian thing. But if someone other have views on Cairo, please let us know. I don't have any strong preferences anyway, so I'm very open to a concept that I can believe in and that I think will function, and that it at least it's manageable to carry through. So,
Derek, anybody else have any comments at this stage?
I suppose I just wanted to jump in and say the paperwork that they furnished looks quite good. I would be reluctant to rule out Cairo at this point. I recognize it's probably, it seems like it might be a larger core group willing to put things together in Romania, but I know that Kim and Cairo is very keen, and to my mind, diversifying the variety of places where we hold these events is pretty important. And we've had a meeting in Romania less than a decade ago, I think. So I don't know. To me, that argues for McDonald's definitively suggests that maybe we should, you know, push for it to be somewhere else. Needs to be where it makes sense in light of all the relevant factors. But it just seems, from my point of view, I think not ruling out potentially viable alternatives is important to this point in the conversation.
And I think what we spoke about last time we had a discussion about conference possibilities is that we it shouldn't be an either or, that we can actually have different kinds of events in different places, and that in fact maybe the way to go in the future is to be thinking a bit more in terms of sort of regional, you know, like pop-ups where people say, I'd like to do something, and we kind of partner with that, and people who can go, that's sort of another option. And I guess my sense is that maybe Cairo would be more along those kind of lines,
I think Roger's just saying something here compared to Indonesia. Romania seems to have easier, more concentrated membership area. Yes, I think that's, I suspect that the idea of Malaysia was, for many people it seems, many of the types of members that we have at the moment, it seems a hell of a long way away. For Australians, everywhere is a long way away, so it's a bit, you know, it's a bit irrelevant where things are. But there is a more concentrated membership in Europe. I don't know that we did have anything terribly recently in Romania. We certainly did in Hungary, but maybe I've forgotten something. Karen, historical connection. Yes, I think historical connection is a good one in the sense that we did have strong roots in those areas, much of which we've lost. The costs relative to low attendance fees seem very high. The costs are not that low, that's correct. And I've said to Adrian that I felt we needed to have costs that were no higher than 100 person break even point. And he said that he felt that could be done, that costs could be reduced where necessary to make it a break even at 100 people. They will be trying to get extra funds. I know they're good at getting extra funds, but of course there's no guarantees, and we should be trying to get extra funds as well. So I think we should see where things are at with Cairo as well in terms of a possibility. That was later on this year, as I understand it. And I think Tim was trying to get some funding as well. I don't think we can make a decision about things today. I wanted to introduce the idea of it, and we'll obviously have to have discussions on Basecamp, and we may need to have another meeting fairly soon, you know, focused on, or perhaps our next Illuminate meeting will be focused on this. I know that Romania is keen to get a response as soon as possible. I would certainly like to come back to them saying that we're positively, you know, considering it, and I think we should try and, you know, make a decision fairly soon as to whether we want them to support a world conference. I'd be in favour of Cairo more as a regional one, and possibly Japan as well, because there's something else that came from David Wright, which I need to pass on, for a regional possibility there. Any other comments on that?
Jenny, Stuart here again. I just wanted to underline the first point you made there and then kind of return to at the end about the importance of scale appropriate undertakings and the idea of what they are enabling as a federation, a platform for events and intervention of different sizes in different parts of the world. For me, that was probably one of the main takeaways from the conversation we've had in sort of here and there over the past 6 months following the Malaysia experience. That rather than sort of the main takeaway being that we're sort of trepidatious about doing anything, to me, I thought one of the most important lessons was that actually we can do all sorts of different things, but so long as we those, you know, other departments will buy us more than we can chew financially and logistically. We can have more small things going on, and I would just want to ensure that we don't preemptively decide which potentials go into which categories, because, you know, if a viable institutional partner or more funding source comes through, then the priorities among those three places that you mentioned could very well change quite quickly.
Thanks, Stuart. Good summary.
If I may, I just want to second Stuart here. I think this is a kind of a more flexible strategy who's pumping up on that. I also like the idea to think about Cairo and Japan, for example, some regional, maybe minor events. Just one thing about the Romanian, 100 people as a break-even, I think that isn't that a bit very high or very optimistic? If you look at our experiences the last years, or, you know, it's just about the combination about what they are trying to do in, you know, on their own area, attract much more people than we are used to do.
I think that they would be intending to attract a lot of people themselves as well. That was my understanding of it. I think also I mentioned in the post that we would want to get a lot of lot more commitment from our members a lot earlier than we did with Malaysia. So I think we would be wanting to have, you know, registrations paid much earlier, and so we know our situation a lot earlier.
Yes, that's what I wanted to intervene on this point and on the question of the number of people, if 100 is estimated for break-even. See, Budapest, the total number of people was large, but I'll tell you what the reason for that was. I'm talking of Budapest in 2002. I was not there in 2005. Karen, sorry about that. But 2002, and I mean the logic applies even now, there were a lot of student participants from the university in 2002. We had it in actually, and there was a program, futures program in Budapest, and there was a conference in Brasov in Romania, and there were a lot of student participants, and I think since it was like 11 years ago, the number was still reasonable. I would put it at above 100 at that time. But I would think that I would have the same doubt that, you know, unless the local hosts are able to arrange for at least 50 or 60 or 70 people, I don't see more than 30 or 40 people from the current WFSF network coming to our conference. Although the fact that we have a lot of membership from Europe and US, and that's why we're able to get more people in Europe than, say, we were able to get in Malaysia, that will help. That same thing happened in Trolleton and Ballwiller in 2008 and 2009. We had about 30 to 40 people broadly from the WFSF network. So I don't think the situation has changed, but the economic recession factors continue. So I would not expect more than 30 or 40 from the WFSF network. So unless the hosts are able to organize more participants in some other way, or unless we are able to link it up with some topic where there is a sponsorship and a thematic focus, it will appear a problematic issue in my estimate.
So yes, I think we need to go back to them with more questions and more clarification about what sort of support and what sort of numbers they would expect. And perhaps we need to put a little question out to our members and try and get an indication of who's willing to commit. And just at least at first glance, and then put the question to members as a possibility. I think we should move on, and we'll continue this on the base camp. So I'll jump down to Eric. Our time is flying away, as it does. So Eric can give a report, and then we'll run through the other items after that. Eric, you were going to mention the sponsorship issue as well.
Okay. I went visiting Evelyn in the beginning of April, so we were sitting and went through the files and the budgets and accountings the last years. And the first thing I want to clarify is that at the time being, we are going with a kind of a surplus. I mean, we have not that much cash flow in our system. At the time, mid-March, we had at the bank about 8,207 euros, and since then it's a few hundred euros more, I think. And we have an income from our member fees. It's almost the only income that we got in the size between 6.5 and 8,500 euro per year in the last years. And that doesn't make our organization very sustainable in the long run, in my opinion. And another aspect is that the most of our cost is going to the secretariat in India. That's, you know, good reasons for that. So I think it's approximately 90% of on a budget. So I have to really sit down and go through all of these activities. But the first and the main challenge is, of course, that we have been discussing for a while now, is to do some fundraising, and we need to develop, you know, to get some sponsorships and other kind of grants. So I think if we are going to develop the organization, we could melt through as we do today, and that could be fine, but I think you should have more ambitions than that. So I would, one point that I want us to discuss is how are we supposed to approach policies in which we are going to try to get more sponsorships and other kind of grants. One thing that has struck my mind is to invite all on the member list to invite or go out with an open call, open invitation for people who think that they can contribute something in that respect, and to build a small group that are trying to develop strategy or do something in that field. So that's one thing. And another thing is that the conferences for a few years back, the conference also produced a kind of survey. I mean, it wasn't we had some income from the conferences, it's not only costs. So it we could also think the events and the planning of the events as also a source of income for the Federation. But then, I mean, that's an optimistic version of approaching the event issue. But I think we could do that, and I think it might be possible. But then we have to organize ourselves in a good way to achieve that. That's very briefly from me. My impression is that Evelyn is doing a very, very good job. She's a very good overview. We are going to sit down after the end of June, because it's periodized from the beginning of July to the end of June every year. So, and then we go through the last financial report from the year 2011 to 2012. So that we're going to do in the end of June or beginning of July. That's briefly our main point in this respect.
Thanks, Eric. A query on the idea of conferences making some money. I think it's a great idea and ideal. I think it's been some time since any of our conferences have made money. The last ones we've had, the Tollhausen one, certainly cost us money, and we went from having quite a lot of money in reserve to being practically down to nothing from that one, so that was unfortunate. And I think Ball Villa was, you know, just run very cheap and very few people, so it didn't cost anything. I don't know whether Hungary was profitable, but I think it's more of an ideal rather than something that we've had recently, at least since we used to get a lot of funding from UNESCO. But I think the idea of sponsorship, I thoroughly endorse Eric's view that we need to be thinking of ourselves in a different way, because really we until we get some additional grants or sponsorship, we simply can't do any more than sort of muddle along doing the best we can. I mean, I'm always thinking of other things I could do for the Federation, but I just simply can't do it and make a living in my other work. So, as Eric said, the roughly 90% of our
income is going on the secretariat fees, and to think of us as being an organisation that runs on, you know, 8,000 euros a year or something, it's, you know, 6,500 to 8,000 euros a year. It's pretty ridiculous, and it's amazing we've kept going as well as we have. So I would like to prioritise getting some kind of a sponsorship, a fundraising group going. It'd be great if Eric, you would be able to chair that, and that we could put out a call for people who I have an interest in, or preferably experience in, grant applications, sponsorship raising, fundraising, that kind of thing, and to see if we can make some kind of a shift in that direction. Any other comments there?
Okay. No, I support the idea, and this has been actually discussed and talked about for a very long time. I would say even say that, you know, we have not been very futuristic in actually anticipating and working on this, and we should have known that this is needed. And ever since the sort of federation was, after the intervening period in 2006 to 2008, when we were really in a very bad shape, once we sort of came back to a sound footing after the work in 2008 and 2009, when the secretariat was set up here, and now we have set up systems to actually get that, even that regular fees of, you know, 7,000 to 8,000 euros, or I would say 7,000 to 9,000. I mean, it depends, because the federation membership has not really been going up. It's been stagnant. There are people who join and there are people who leave. And the number of people who are joining and the number of people who are leaving every year is more or less the same. And there is also the question of people saying that they have joined and they are paying fees, but there are long delays and by the time things materialize. I mean, so we are more or less stagnant in terms of membership and fees since 2008, in the last 3 years or 4 years, since 2008-9. So that was, 9 was the, actually 8 July it started, so 9 was the first year. So 9, 10, 11. Or last 3 to 4 years we've been at that level, and really speaking, it's as Jenny said, without thinking of longer term arrangements to raise funds, and I think I've been thinking of this for a long time, that you know, the network that we have, we are not really being able to leverage it for either for research or other project activities, because funding and sponsorship cannot be dissociated from the activity that happens, if not by the federation, then at least facilitated by the federation. So that's the kind of thinking which has been needed for quite some time now, and I would clearly put it as the biggest challenge, because as I see it, recently some of the institutional members have also said that, you know, they realize that even 200 euros is on the higher side, so some of them have given this feedback, and I've shared this in Basecamp, that they would like to switch to individual membership, and some of them have. I'm not saying everybody has, but if you see the trend of institutional membership over the years, that's only declined. There have been also cases in the last 3 years where organizations have joined but do not continue with that. For instance, we had a member from Korea, an institutional member from Korea, who joined in 2010 but who did not renew in 2011. From IBRAM, we have Rosario University as a member, which again joined in 2010, and in 2011, they have again not renewed. I mean, they've been saying, and Gulerman has been saying that they are going to renew, but it's been almost 10 months since they've renewed. Chile, we had a institutional member, and they opted out and asked for joining as individual members. So I really see it as two or three major issues which are connected to this whole thing. One is, which we have been trying, Jenny, I appreciate your comments in the beginning that we are basically a voluntary group and trying to do a lot of things. But for the membership, we clearly need to have more services in place to make the whole membership, membership experience more viable, so that we have more members who are cutting in. Interestingly, in the last 2 or 3 years, we have had a lot of old members who were members 5 or 6 or 7 years ago who have rejoined us because we have been able to improve things. But among the new members, I see the retention figure is quite low. And particularly from conferences, my experience is, I have not done a detailed one-to-one person analysis, but my experience is that often people who join at conferences only join for a year, and quite often they do not renew their membership the next year, which means they're finding something lacking in the membership experience. I mean, among the things, one of the things I'd like to say is, for instance, we say that we say it even in the letter that we send out to new members, that there's a futures bulletin. And as far as I know, in the last year, instead of 4 issues of the futures bulletin, we've had only 1 issue of the futures bulletin. And this year we are already in May, and there is absolutely no news of any copy of the futures bulletin. So these are issues that we need to be clear if we have to consider improving the membership. And the second thing is that, again, you might say it's my favorite topic, but I'm sorry, I simply raise it because it's been something pending for a very long time. We need to really broad base our membership now. That's how we'll get more members. I see a kind of a saturation happening from Europe and USA and the Australian region. If we don't get members from other parts of the world, I don't see us increasing membership very fast. But we have not really taken action on that. So, to repeat my first point, that we need to leverage the WFSF network, you know, this history of more than 3 decades and the huge network that we have, to be able to get into some real projects, which may be futures courses, which may be research, which may be something else. And that kind of brainstorming and thinking on how to do that really needs to be done. Because even if you think of sponsorship and grants, you cannot think of sponsorship and grants without some kind of thematic focus. Because, you know, the foundations or the corporates or whoever sponsors, they always do it with a certain thematic focus. And within the broad futures area, there has to be, for the purpose of grants and sponsorship. I don't see, for instance, a body like UNESCO or any other futures body simply giving us money like it happened in the about 10 years ago or in the previous decade. before 2000, when for futures courses and all, UNESCO used to give us money. UNESCO itself is a relatively, financially speaking, not a very rich body now. So you have to look for sponsorships at international foundations and at corporates, big corporates throughout the world. So the way to go is to really think how, in which regions, in which countries, what projects can be done which can help us raise that kind of money. Without that, financially, it's going to be tough. Sorry, I had quite a long intervention, but I think these are very fundamental issues which, you know, in the planning for conferences and in some of the other issues, I've said this first, that what I think is happening is that the urgent is pushing away the more important issues. We really need to, and I think since this is in the current, in your current presidency or the current executive board term, Jenny, this is going to be the fourth year now. If you don't focus on this, it's going to be tough, because in the next few years, I see the global economic recession kind of scenario more or less continuing. So given this scenario, we need to think of these alternative strategies or other strategies to secure the future of the Federation. Thanks.
Thanks, Rakesh. Yes, you make some very good points, and these are certainly things that have been on the agenda for some time, and we've, I'm just trying to scan through as well, see what other people have said. We had priorities that we've worked through, and a lot of them have been completed and some haven't been. And I think we now need to look at what we can focus on for the next 12 months, which is sort of where I introduced the meeting. And I personally think that idea of a fundraising group to develop sponsorship, grants and so on should be a priority. But it is very much linked with, as you say, Rakesh, what we offer. And this, again, brings in several other issues, our membership procedures and recruiting and what we offer to members, our website, which, you know, urgently needs upgrading and updating and upgrading, including our membership processes, which we know there are technical issues there, sometimes members paying fees, and our fees policy. And then also our general communications, you know, what we're offering in terms of what the communications strategy group have been working on, and we know that all these things have improved and everyone's done a huge amount, and we know that there's more to be done. So I know that we've only got about 15 minutes left, and I want to suggest a structural change. I'd like to sort of, rather than tackle these issues that are still on the agenda one-on-one, I just want to sort of jump in here with an intervention suggesting a structural change as to how we might reconstitute the groups that we have, as well as change the groups a little bit. Because the way, when we developed the working groups, the working groups were pretty much consisting of members of the executive board, and you know, a lot of progress was made, and then there's been sticking points, and I think that simply we just don't have enough people that have been working on these things, and I think that we need to look at how we can change that and how we can engage the members more. So I actually want to suggest that we look at the working groups that we've got, will post this online, what I'm suggesting, but to have each of the chairs or the co-chairs actually take responsibility for enlisting members to help with this, and that the chairs or co-chairs, rather than be the people that have to do the work, be the people that organise, coordinate other people to help them, because I'm sure there are lots of people that would like to help, but we haven't set up a structure that this is coordinated. And then the chairs become coordinators and report back, liaise and report back to the board. And I think we could actually, if we could get a system like that working, we could get a lot more done. Particularly, for instance, with the membership group, and Natalie's not here today, but I think that the one of the failings of the membership situation is we don't have a welcoming group, we don't have a follow-up group, and I think that would be something that we could have, you know, half a dozen, 10 members who are part of this, who can welcome people, who can, you know, check on how they are, if they're having difficulty paying fees or whatever. The communications group, we could have a lot more members involved, and we talked about doing this, and I'm interested in Maya and Stuart's feedback on that. A fundraising group, we could have a number of people involved. So I'm actually suggesting this sort of restructure, and I also want to suggest a concrete thing in terms of the fees situation. I know, Rakesh, that you did a lot of work on this more than a couple of years ago. I would like to ask you to actually coordinate a group on this, and I think it would be very good to have Cesar and Guillermina involved, if they're willing to help, to revisit the work that you did, which you may have some new insights into, you may not, but to revisit what you did, to do a one-page summary for us of what you did and what your recommendation is, you know, in consultation with, say, Cesar and Guillermina. Natalie gave some very good feedback on this, and I think that one of the winning suggestions to me was to look at what the International Sociological Association does, which I think have three levels of different countries rather than OECD and non-OECD. And I'd like you to move on this, Rakesh, and, you know, just revisit what you did, make a recommendation to us so that we can move on it, how we can perhaps increase the regular fees and bring down the elements that's interesting.
Okay, Jenny, I'll work on this, and I'll contact actually this development after this.
And Everett, I think if you and I can share for a fundraising sponsorship grant group, and perhaps you could put that as a draft to the members calling for interest and people with experience to look at this trial.
Thank you. completely prescription victims into the water extent of the and of this call from the members for people with experience. There may be, we may have some brilliant people out there in the membership who know how to write grant applications, who have done international fundraising. We need to find out. Okay?
That's all I understood it too. That's good.
Maya and Stuart, would one or both of you like to report on what you see happening with communications and how might this system of inviting more membership involvement work for communications? Do you think that's reasonable and realistic a process?
Okay, yes, Stuart here, sorry, I want to give Maya a chance to jump in, but I'll respond to that. So I have to say, I think what the proposal that's being floated sounds interesting, and I'd like to understand a little bit more about it. It isn't clear to me how it's a structural change. It sounds sort of more tactical in terms of drawing on a wider base of membership or contributors than perhaps we have previously. In all of the cases, it sounds like the kind of benefit membership that you're talking about there, Jenny. And I think we have a couple of times over the past few years reached out to people for expressions of interest and to with a view to recruiting wider participation in at least the communications group. And of course, Maya was in a way her involvement prior to being on board was with the product of that of exactly that kind of impulse. So it sounds good to me, but I suppose if I'm not capturing if I'm sort of missing something about what you're suggesting, maybe it would be good to read a little bit more about this proposal you have in mind so that I can make a more thoughtful evaluation of its prospects. We'll look forward to that. A couple of points have been mentioned in the conversation so far that I think it's probably worth hitting on. At the beginning, we were talking about the potential value of incorporating a section in the website that would update people on the news of the EB and presumably of others as well. And I believe that the sort of thing that the body is interested in incorporating into his kind of taking charge of the website front. Since the last meeting, since the last executive board meeting, Maya and I have been in touch with Bahi both via email and in conversation. It's unfortunate that you haven't been able to join us at this meeting. I know that you, through no fault of yours, have quite a bit of difficulty joining conversations, even when they're scheduled. So, and I think phone is easily effective for Skype or Blackboard. In fact, I think the latter two are actually possible where it is. So that's a limitation. But that being said, his expertise and background include, I think, probably a deeper involvement with web development than certainly me, possibly than Maya as well, although I can't keep that.
And so that's really an area that he would be able to update on, and an area that he has indicated any interest and attention to take forward sort of on behalf of all of us. So while he can't be with us, the good news is that he is sort of stepping into to the role, to this role on the EV with a view to addressing that particular set of opportunities. And the other thing I wanted to touch on that was mentioned was the bulletin. The bulletin was not actually, had not previously been thought of or talked about as part of the communications function. It's sort of a separate thing, and I guess, but by the communications function, I mean it hasn't been part of the set of things that the communications group has been responsible for. But I wonder if that's something that Jenny, you or Rakesh want to speak to. I'm not actually sure who's responsible for that at this stage and what the kind of expectation is around getting that going again, or whether we're going to let it fall by the wayside in favor of a purely electronic approach, which has sort of, you know, of course the electronic front is really where the communication strategy is focused. So those are the thoughts that I have at the moment. As for answering the question about how the proposed change might have impact, again, I'd want to know a little more about what the proposal is. But it sounds like it sounds like a sensible way of doing it, like what we've already been doing for the last few years.
Stuart, thank you. Be interested to hear more about what's been discussed with Fahid. Maybe you can just post something from time to time on Basecamp about that. And we just need to make sure we're keeping each other in the loop, because I've been working with Mel a little bit in terms of some new things on the website, Mel Rumble, and I will be meeting her at some point when I'm away. So, yeah, it would be good to be aware of what's been talked about with Fahid and what he is working on, if anything. So, if you
could I think Fahid doesn't seem to have any difficulty in accessing Basecamp or something, so if there are any questions for him that I or Maya can't speak to, then I'm sure he'd be able to chime in on that. And about Mel, I know that that was something that Maya had sort of made for him in contact before, but I didn't realize that you were speaking with her at the same time, so maybe you could update us on what you have in mind, so we ensure that we don't have parallel conversations that aren't joining up enough.
That's exactly what I'm saying as well. It was just that I kind of invited Mel to be involved and let everyone know about that, and basically she did some updating at the outset, and she's also at the moment working on the In Memoriam page. But she's also sort of, you know, talking about the possibility of doing a complete upgrade, which we need to talk about further as a whole communications group and a whole board. So this is another huge conversation. I think just keeping each other in the loop through Basecamp as to what updates and developments there are. In terms of this other idea, whether we call it structural or tactical, for some reason we're not getting things done. And I guess we just need to think about how we can involve more people in helping us, in all of the areas, and that's my suggestion. So, you know, what kind of help do you and Maya need to enable the, you know, the blog to be an exciting, generative thing, or to get a social forum happening that we haven't done yet, or in the case of our membership, you know, other things, other areas. If we can't do the things ourselves, and it seems we can't, how can we get more energy into the situation? That's all I'm looking at, and that's what I'm suggesting. So, you know, the question is to the two of you, can you see a way to engage, you know, more of the members, say with the blog or the Twitter or whatever? That's the question there.
I think the answer is that's an area of responsibility that I think they have to be taken on, and eliciting contributions from the wider membership is, as I understand it, core to what he has in mind for that. Maybe Maya wants to elaborate, but
I mean, I guess the happy news is that what you're suggesting is exactly what's happening.
Yes.
Scientist knows really well a lot about blogging and has ideas for the website. On the other hand, concerning, you know, volunteers, it is true that calls were made for that from which we were able to find out, you know, who would be interested at all in contributing content, because that's obviously with the website and with Twitter as well, I guess. A very important issue, and you said, Jenny, you know, we need to work out where we need help, but I also think that to have more offers and offers that you know, will actually stand once the work starts. There's also this whole question of what a volunteer gets in return and how clearly their tasks can be defined, and whether you do that on the basis of who offers help. And so who offers help becomes a determinant for what you can do, or whether you make a very detailed overview of all the little things that need to be done, and you find a group of people that say that they want to apply themselves to that.
Oh, there are all these complications, yes. I'm just trying to come up with suggestions to generate some more energy, that's all. But it sounds like there's things happening with Fahid that we didn't know about. So that's great. That's fantastic. It'd be good to just hear a bit more about what he's got in mind. So, Roger?
And that is a very difficult position to do anything in. I mean, even though we can communicate with him at the moment via email, and we can call him on his phone from the Skype account. It's not like he's ideally placed to be managing either blog or website or either, because he's not there's announcements now of the Iranian internet becoming even more closed, and considering requesting an Iranian email address so that I'm sure he will always receive all my messages, things like that. It's also a difficult position for him, I think.
Understand. Rakesh, you asked a question about the bulletin. I have previously been in communication with Ella about the bulletin. She was having some lots of difficulties with various things. We haven't touched base on it for a couple of months. So I think she does have an issue almost finished, but yes, I'm not sure what's involved in getting it finished and getting it out there, but it does need attention, and maybe she needs more help, or, you know, we need to see if we can find somebody else to do it if she can't continue. Okay, well, we've pretty much run out of time. Roger might like to briefly say something about what he and Karen have been doing with the strategic plan and other things, and then we should probably round up.
I'll be very brief. We did the refreshing exercise several years ago with the entire membership, and then Ruben and I did a summary of that and pulled it into what could be maybe called a strategic plan, and it was too lengthy. So Karen and I are on the same page on this, and what our target is to have a one-page strategic plan that covers the essentials, and then maybe have 5 or 10 pages worth of a background document to explain to people on why we came up with certain conclusions or what certain kinds of links might exist for more data to give some support to the strategic plan itself, and then go back and look at what some other related organizations dealing with future studies have in their strategic plan, pull all that together and make a draft, and then we'll put that on Basecamp. That's probably a couple of months off in final format. The other thing I've been working on with spurts of energy at times and then long absences at other times is a set of operating guidelines. And I was reminded of this a couple of years ago when Fabienne was starting to do the election time, and then we didn't know how to do an election because it had been 4 years since the last one occurred. So having some guidelines like that to just answer questions on how we run the place seems like a good idea. Not very lengthy guidelines and not hard rules. And then finally, to pull together the policies that we have. We actually have several policies, but they're not called policies. They're just conclusions that come up. They're listed on Basecamp for the most part, but if you search for policy, you won't find the term often used. So going back through that takes a little bit of effort, but pulling together something so we can sort of get a rule book of how we operate was the intention. That's not a lot of detail, but at least we get all the policies in one place. That's my short report.
Thanks, Roger. Just one other quick item I added to the end after I put the agenda up. The Finland Futures Research Centre are in the process of developing an archive set up for their own work, and I spoke to them about the possibility of them housing the Federation archives, and they would definitely be willing to do that. It's another thing that we would need some funding support for or some sponsorship for. But it is a kind of a pressing issue to me with the age of our elders who are holding a lot of the archives at the moment, such as Eleonora and Jim and others, because it would be a great shame to have that material kind of dispersed and lost without being put together into some proper archive, because it's of a great historical significance. So I'll be talking to them about that when I'm in Finland. Does anybody have any questions or comments to these last minute things to say before we finish up? That sounds like a no. look, thanks everybody. It's been quite a dense meeting today with lots of things discussed, and lots of people have come up with some really good ideas and suggestions and so on. So we struggle on, and you're all doing fantastically with what you're doing, and I really appreciate all your work. And a quick hit of the video button. That's a good idea. We can see if we can get something happening there. I've just hit the video button. I don't know if anything's happened. Oh, yes. Hello. Hello, everybody. We should have done that before. Well, I look forward to seeing some of you, Rakesh in Finland, and Eric in Berlin. Maya, I'll email you to see whether you're going to be available at all when I'm there. Okay, big hugs to everyone. Speak again soon. Maya, you're still there. Are you, when are you, oh no, she's just left.